basically just going to give you a rundown of CSS because we know that it wasn't covered in all the sections, and we really want to make sure that you guys have this tool at your disposal because it has the ability to make your websites look much prettier. And if you're building a website, then you probably want to make it pretty. I mean, you don't have to, but I'd suggest it. If you want users to use it, you might want to make it a little aesthetically pleasing. So we're going to try and give you just some basic tools and understanding so that when you go out and you're researching things about CSS, it's not complete gibberish like CS sometimes seems to be.
Yeah. Allison said it pretty well. So I guess the first thing we should start with is, what is CSS? So CSS is awesome. CSS.
That's the name of our seminar.
Yeah, it's really important that you understand that by then. If you only take away one thing, it's that CSS is awesome. Two is CSS stands for Cascading Style Sheets. So at its core, CSS is a style sheet, meaning it allows you to style a web page. And then what that means, it's a way to add style to your websites. So by style, we mean everything that's not structural. So things like colors, background images, borders, like padding, margins. We'll talk about what all that means in a bit. So we've just gone ahead and opened both those up in Get.it. So this is index.html, and this is main.css. So main.css has nothing. None. And as you'll see, it's a really ugly site. Yeah, it's not ugly, it's just minimalist. And then here we have index.html. And so for a quick recap of HTML, Allison, you want to just talk about the page?
So obviously we have our HTML tag, which is named this HTML file. We have our header here with CSS awesomeness, which we go back.
No. Yeah, you can see.
So it's the header, it's this tab header right up here. And then Hello World is a text that we have just displaying on the web page, which is which is just in our body here, the plain text. Also, one thing to notice, if you look here, Tomas switched up these two from our slide. So as long as you have all three of these, you're fine. They can be in whatever order they want. What's most important is just that you have each of those three things.
Cool. Add a doc type? Yeah. Cool. Give us a sec just while Allison switches out her mic. So we have our main page. It's kind of unstyled. We don't have much. We just have basically text. We have the style sheet. We have the title. So just bare bone components to make website. So from there, let's talk about what CSS is and what it looks like and all that. So for that,
Back to the slides,
and Allison can take over.
Woo!
Cool.
Okay, so in your CSS file, you're going to have a lot of these things called selectors. That will just be the basis of your CSS file. It's just going to be lots and lots of these. So selector, this is just the general anatomy. We're going to go through examples because if you guys have ever watched my section, I feel like things in the abstract don't really make sense. It always helps to see the examples. So we have a some selector that's going to be some identifier for what we want this style to apply to. And then we can have any set of rules and values. So selectors that you might see might be something like body or like paragraph with P or header or whatever. Whatever you want your HTML tags to be. So in this case, we have body. And we have some rule, which this corresponds to like what your style applies to. So in this case, we have background color and font weight. So this is going to change the background of anything within the body tag of our HTML file. And it's going to give it this light blue value. So it's going to make the background light blue. And then anything within body is going to have a font weight bold. So it's just going to bold all of our text. And this is just one selector. But you could have very many of these, and as we're going to show later, a little bit more into how that works and more examples there. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
So, no, Allison got it. We're just going to code up an example here on our example site. So let's actually take this. It's perfect. So I'm just going to copy and paste that right into our main.css file, and I'm going to save it. And then we will run it. So, side note, one of the most frustrating things is if you don't save a file, and then you reload the page, and why isn't the change happening? it happened. So here we saw that we made our website a light blue background and some bolded text. I should also mention, if you guys have questions about anything we're doing, please feel free to stop us and ask us. We're totally willing to field questions.
Obviously, with like CS, everything kind of builds upon itself. So if one thing doesn't make sense now, we don't want that to bog you down later.
Yep. So let's kind of dissect this. So do you want to start with the selector here?
Yeah. So I mean, as I was saying before, body is just our selector here. So if we go back over to our index,
which I just closed. Give me a second. So file, open,
public.
index.html.
Cool. Yeah. So if you notice here, we have these body tags, right? So the selector just corresponds to the tags that we're talking about. So body right here. So what we're saying is everything, I wish I could just like touch the screen, it'd be so much cooler. So anything within those body tags, which we saw was just like the text, and the body in general refers to like the background. If you ever want to change the background, that's going to be in a body tag, just has these rules applied to them. So if we were to go to index.html and actually, can we have something outside of the body? We could if we had like a footer or something, it wouldn't apply to this. But anything within these body tags is going to be affected by this body selector that we made. So if you were to type something else there.
Let's drive that home. So if we had a div, so that's just another tag you can have. I'm going to close it. Or let's make this a paragraph. So P stands for paragraph. And within that paragraph, and then I say, this is text. Cool. And then I made this rule apply to a paragraph instead of the body. You'll see how it applies only to the newly formed paragraph, right? Not the whole thing.
Does that make sense? This is all body, but now our selector just corresponds to the paragraph. So we just have bold and blue for this specific paragraph, because this is the only thing that is enclosed within the P tag.
Does that make sense, sort of how like things encapsulate other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, just to say, like one of the best ways to really get comfortable with CSS is to just do things like this. Just try it out. It's very simple to type something out, hit refresh, and see what happens. And as with most CS, experimentation can often lead to a much better intuitive understanding, even more so than us just like talking to you.
Absolutely, 100% agree on that point. So if we go back to this, let's start dissecting exactly what these two do. So we have two rules on this, right? So the first one is background color. And you see that we've set it equal to a value light blue. So in CSS, CSS is sort of like very loose about how you're allowed to define colors. So you can define them by name. You can also do something like red. And then if we go back to this, you'll see that the background is red. You can also get really, I think you can get pretty creative with this, can't you?
I think you can use hex.
Yeah, so you can use hex, but I'm thinking name-wise. I think, aren't there?
You can do quite a few. Pretty much like most colors that you can name, like I think like
salmon.
Salmon is one,
we're gonna
yeah.
Try salmon.
I think chartreuse is in there.
Yeah, see, so like
yeah.
you can get pretty
creative.
You can
creative. Get pretty creative. Like if you can think of the color name, like it's probably in there.
Okay. And then
if you really want fine detail, you can go hex.
Yeah, so hexadecimal, if you guys remember this back from your old PSET, image recover, you guys had to deal with these hex values. And sort of to recap what that is, hex has three values stored in it. So it's in groups of two increments. The first two represent the red value. The second one represents the green value, and the last one is blue. So FF happens to represent in hexadecimal 255. So you have 255 red, 255 green, and 0 for blue, and values range between 0 and 255.
Yes. Right, so essentially, we could search the internet for any color we want and identify the actual color spectrum combo, and then we could put it in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have pretty much complete control over the colors you want within CSS.
Yeah.
You can also, are we going to talk about background images later? Do we want to do that?
So yeah, absolutely. So first, just to like show that red and green is yellow. And if you need some help finding this, you can Google something like color picker.
Oh, so good.
So colorpicker.com is a good example. And here you'll see that you have a full Photoshop-like color picker.
Mm-hmm. Also, the cool things are you can generate color schemes so that you don't have like clashing colors.
And then here's the hex value up here. Right, so you can always find online basically places to get the hex value from. It's not sort of that just like we see the colors of the world in numbers. It's more that we go online and find what color we want and then take the number down. Because it's just a really easy way to reference things in CS. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, I forget the exact name of the site, but there's definitely, I think, something from Adobe that like generates color schemes for you, which is really cool because you definitely... It's sometimes hard to figure out, like, oh, if I want to use this color, what might be another useful one to use elsewhere on my site to, like, make it nice and cohesive?
So what Allison, yeah. One of the ones, Allison's talking about one by Adobe called
Cooler,
I think. It's K-U-E-L-E-R.
I think so. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
My favorite has always been Color Scheme Designer.
Ooh.
Which is now...
This is beautiful.
And you can basically say, like, I want three colors next to each other. And then let's do something.
Yeah.
Nice. So. And then you can get an example of what that might look like. And then if you hover over any of them, it gives you the hex value. So just as a good way to sort of, like, start thinking about color schemes or, like, what colors in a website might go well together. Because that can be surprisingly not as easy to pick as you'd think. And then another cool thing I've always found about this site is if you hit examples, it'll show what an example website might look like using that color scheme. Anyway, back to the actual CSS.
But obviously we know these references might be useful.
Yeah. No, they definitely can be helpful. So the second rule, Allison.
Yeah, the second rule is just corresponding to our font. So font weight is just kind of... So the weight would be like if you want just like normal or like thinner fonts, or in this case like bold. I forget what's the, if you wanted it, is there a thinner one?
Thinner one?
Then just like normal.
I don't actually know if there's a thinner
I forget.
One.
So font weight we typically just use for bold. If you want to get like really into it, we're going to show you W3 Schools has like all of the different things you can do for fonts. But basically, if you ever want to change anything about font, it's always going to be like font dash something. So it'll be like font family if you're trying to change the actual like type. It'll be font dash style if you want to make it like cursive or italics or whatnot. Or even font color if we wanted to change that.
Yep. So you can change that. And then sort of just to recap now. So you can see that we have the selector up here. We have these curly braces. And then we have rules delimited by semicolons. Does that make sense? Yeah. Cool. So if that is good,
back to
let's talk specifically about what kind of selectors we have. Because right now we've sort of just shown tags. But you guys could see it plausible. Say you have two paragraphs on a page, and you want to be able to style one but not the other, right? Mm-hmm. You don't just want to limit yourself to have to use different actual HTML tags to give them different styles. So we have three basic types of selectors.
Yeah, so we have tag, which is what we've been talking about right now. So that's kind of like your, you know, body or P. And then we have class, which is when we define it in our CSS file, is always going to be dot whatever you want the name of your class to be. And this can apply to multiple things. If you say you have like five paragraphs and two of the three of them need to be styled the same, you would apply a class to it. And this is just the way we do it. We'll give you an example of where this actually shows up. But if you had maybe some tag P, after it you would write class equals whatever classes you want to apply to it. So whatever selectors, class selectors that we want to apply to this specific paragraph, we could just write like this. Of course, I think an example will make it much more concrete. The other one we have is ID, which we denote with a hash or pound or hashtag.
Octothorpe.
That works too. And this one should really be unique. This should only apply to, one thing on your page. So whether that's, a specific paragraph or some item in a list or whatever, this should be unique. And in the same way that we just say, like, class equals class 1, class 2, this can just be ID of whatever we have.
Yeah. So let's definitely talk about examples here. And I'm just going to dive straight back into the code. So let's look at our HTML, and so we right now have one paragraph. This is text. I'm just going to modify it. This is text 1, And then we're going to have a this is text
second
2.
One.
Yep. So we now have this is text 2, right? And we're going to see that if we reload the page, what we're going to find is we're going to find this is text 1 and this is text 2.
Our lovely yellow color.
And you'll see that our selector right now, which applies to P's or paragraphs, affects both of them, right? Because both of them meet the condition that they're both a P tag. That makes total sense. So the question is, well, what if we wanted to only get one? So exactly like Allison was saying, we have two other ways to do that. I'm going to start with ID.
Let's start with ID.
And both of these are attributes. So attributes exist in HTML. And what they are is something that you add inside the tag, which is separate from the tag name. So you can have multiple attributes.
I was going to say, from your example from PSET 7, if any of you tried to align things to the center, you might have used text align equals center, and you notice it probably should have centered your text or your navigation bar. So that's just also an attribute that you might be familiar with.
There's a bunch of attributes that good reference to PSET 7. We have ID. You can also have class, things like this. A single tag can have many attributes. So starting with ID, let's pretend we want to have an ID of, I don't know, we'll call it special, because this one we're going to make like bold and underline and whatever.
It's going to be super special.
So this one we have ID special. So the way to select that then is in main.css, rather than have a p tag, you do pound special. Okay? And that selects the thing with ID special. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense to everyone? Yeah? Cool. So now if we go back, we'll see. Whoops. Yeah. Cool. We'll see that only selects the one with ID special. Yeah? Sounds cool. Yes.
Can something have an attribute of both a class and an ID?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what happens if you then give it some rules in CSS that conflict?
Absolutely. We're definitely going to talk about that. Okay. So exactly what you're getting at, you can also have many different you can also have classes. So let's pretend I had three paragraphs, and I want to style the first two but not the third. Well, your first idea may be, well, I could just give like the second one an ID. But you can't, because an ID, exactly like Allison was saying, has to be unique. So instead of an ID, what you can use is you can use a class. And a class, what it allows you to do is basically say, this belongs as part of a group. And in this case, our group is called special. And what we're going to do then is we're going to say, rather than pound, we're going to use dot. Okay? And notice that the pound and dot only exist within the CSS file, not within the HTML.
Yes, important distinction.
I have had so much struggle because I like put the hash in the HTML and then just felt stupid for a long time. So we have, see how it selects both of the ones with that class. Cool. Now, things can have multiple classes. Let's say I want to make the first two have a background of yellow, and the second two have a font color of blue. Okay, I don't really know why I'd want to do that, but I can.
Might not recommend it for your website, but for our purposes, it'll do.
It's not a good color scheme. So what would be...
Well, yellow and blue were my high school colors. I don't know.
Allison's high school had a great color scheme. So then what we can call this is, let's call this... So we have special, and we have pretty. I suggest for this you use much more descriptive names.
Yeah, I would call this like, you know.
We're not really
yellow or blue.
Yeah, we're not really making a real website, which is why we're not doing that. But if you actually had a real website, you might have like article header, article like content, first word, things like that, which allow you to be much more descriptive. These are really just like variables and should be named in a way you can like. As such.
Yeah.
Perfect. So background color, and then we're going to say, so the way to change color is just color, and we're going to make it blue. Cool. So now we have the first you have special. The next one's going to have class equals pretty.
And then you want to add pretty to the middle one?
Yep. And then to the middle one, to add pretty, what happens is you just have a space. So the class attribute is a space-separated list of all the classes that apply to that tag. Okay. It's not like this one belongs to some kind of special class called special space pretty. It belongs to two classes, special and pretty. Oh. Yes? Cool. And then if we look at what happened, we're going to see that first one has yellow background, black text. Second one
has, you know, bold yellow background with blue text. And our last one just has the blue text that we assigned to it.
Cool.
Cool.
How selectors work? Awesome.
Do we want to talk about the conflict now then?
So yeah, absolutely. So what happens if you have a conflict, right? Let's pretend the first one sets up something like...
maybe this one changes the background?
Yeah. So we're going to make pretty change the background to salmon.
You're just with all the great colors today, Tomas.
Yeah, because I found out I can use salmon as a real color. So we're only going to do that. I also think sunset is a real color.
Sunset's a real color.
Let's try it.
After this demo, because in case it messes up, I don't want to be debugging. So we know salmon's a real color. So any guesses on what's going to happen?
Any idea?
Yeah, so you got it exactly right. Basically, it takes the last rule that it was given.
So this is where cascading comes into effect.
So remember how we had that cascading style sheets? So by that, we kind of mean that like we have a bunch of rules which apply on top of each other, and they can also override each other.
Right. So whatever is at the bottom, right, will override whatever is at the top. So you can have rules that completely like negate something beforehand. So you just want to... It's also why you want to be like careful when you're styling, so that you're not creating rules that you're just completely overriding.
Or maybe you do want to override
or
rules.
Or maybe you do.
Right? Yes. Like pretend you have a class which applies to most things, but like let's say you want to change the background color to red and like the font weight to bold for most things, but for one you only want the background color to be red, but you want all the other properties. You could do something like font weight equals normal, which would then undo that bold change. Yeah? Again, the best way I think Allison said it is just practice.
Experimentation.
Practice, 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 and experiment. I know a lot of people that think CSS is just a lot of guess and check at the end of the day, where like if you want to do something like you have a rough idea, but you still probably need to like try it out to make sure you know what it looks like.
When you're applying classes more than one to the same paragraph or section, does it matter what order you type them into the quotes?
No.
No.
Not at all.
What matters is the... order within your CSS style. Within class, when you're giving a classes to something in the HTML, does it matter which order they're in? It doesn't matter the order. What matters is the order of the, you know, class selectors within your CSS, within your style sheet.
Sound good?
Lovely.
Cool. And then we're going to continue to.
What do we have next? I forget. Oh, we just have examples. We've kind of done those. We've done examples on the fly.
We get to combine the selectors soon.
Oh, we get to combine selectors.
So some examples is you have pound dog, pound or hashtag or octothorpe or whatever you want
to call
it.
Whatever you'd like to call it.
Sharp.
Sharp dog.
Then you have dot pets, right? So like, there, something has an idea of dog, there's only one dog on the page. Something has an idea of cat, there's only one cat. There may be many pets on the page. That's why we gave that classes. You have an example of P, and then sort of the last example, which is something we haven't talked about, is what happens when you combine them. So P.pets. So for that, let's go back to the code and introduce another.
I feel like this is really, like, just looking through examples is really the way to learn this.
Yeah.
So that's what we're... That's what we're doing.
So let's pretend we only want to select text two, right? So we definitely can't do that with an ID. Well, we could do that with an ID, but it doesn't have an ID, right? I could add one, but let's pretend that I didn't want to add one, or it already has something else. I can't do that with that. The tag is definitely not unique, right? And neither is the class. But you can combine these things. Let's say we wanted to do something which only applies to things which have the class special and which have the class pretty. Right? So what you can do is in main.css, you can say, let's first delete this. You can combine these. So you can do dot special, no space, just dot special dot pretty. What that means is something which is both special and pretty. Does that make sense? And if we go here, what you're going to see is this rule only applies to the second one, right, which has both of those. And you can do that for a lot of things. You can say, let's pretend I only wanted to do things which have the class pretty and which are also a paragraph tag, right? So p.pretty. Let's pretend that I had something like pretty on the tag body, okay? I can run this, and I can see that it's only going to apply to things which are paragraphs with the class pretty. And you can bind these basically as many as you want. Mm-hmm. So you can just like put them together. Does that make sense?
So this kind of is more useful when Tomas was saying earlier, maybe you have like a very complicated website and you already have a lot of these rules written and you just need to combine two from before. Like instead of writing a whole new selector and like changing it there, you can just combine them where you know it overlaps.
Or you might find out sometimes there's like one class which makes fonts color like blue, and there's another class which makes background blue, and that just won't work. So you write a special case where like, but if it has both, what you're going to do is you're going to make this one this shade of blue and this one this other shade of blue, right?
Just for those types of exceptions.
Yeah. So to think about problems that might arise when you combine them. Cool. So. Back to our presentation.
We're almost there.
And it has stopped connecting.
Oh no.
Can you present without that?
CSFD office, internet goes down. Oh, the irony.
So fortunately, we can present without the internet, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we have all the slides here. So let's talk about the relationship of tags.
Right, so just kind of going off of what Tomas said, this is just another way to do it. So. We have some parent selector with a child selector. So in this example here, we have some body with a class navbar, class button.
Oh, ah, sorry.
And basically, like what this means is select all of the children, like all of these sorts of selectors, within this parent selector. And those are the only ones it's ever going to apply to. I don't know if you have a better way.
So I guess the way to think about this is, remember before how we sort of like put them together and then that means one element which matches all of these? Mm-hmm. What this is saying is I want you to match everything within some.
It's
I want you to find a selector. And then within that, I want you to match new things, right? So in CSS, it's all about sort of being able to match these items. And you can try to match items within other items. So let's actually do an example, and we think that'll clarify.
Yeah.
So let's pretend we have special, special pretty, whatever, and then we have a link, okay? So remember, A is a link. It's not going to go anywhere, and we're going to give it the class. Sweet. We're going to give it the class link, I guess. Let's give it the class. Give me an idea.
Cool.
Let's give it the class pretty. Why not?
Okay.
So right now, pretty things are going to make the background blue, background color salmon. That makes sense. And if we do this.
Do you want to add text so the hyperlink actually shows up?
That would be a good call.
Because right now we're just going to get nothing.
So this is a link. This is a link. Oh, and this is going to be another link. Or let's give it the class cool. You're right. Cool. So right now we're going to grab this. We're going to throw one. We have one in the special tag, and we also are going to have one in the pretty tag. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to make cool. What do we want it to do?
Can we make it larger?
Let's give it a border.
We can do a border.
Yeah. So we're going to do something like border is, and we're going to explain this all in a second. For now,
the box model.
Yeah. But for now, we're just going to give it a border. So what that means is you're going to see these links, and you're going to see that they have these like ugly black borders, which is cool.
Our website's so pretty.
Yeah, our website is awesome. So these two are links, and they appear. Now let's pretend I only wanted to do this if it was not within something which had a background of salmon, right? So remember that this one has a background of salmon because it's of class pretty, but we want to say that only cools which are in class special, not in class pretty, should have that border. Well, what you can do is you can say dot special space dot cool. And what that's doing when you think about it is it's basically saying, okay, find me everything that matches special. Then within those tags, find me everything that's cool.
Yeah. So another way that might be good to think about is like bringing it back to C is just like the idea of scope. So when you have some selector that like the ones that we've been working for before this, your entire web page, all of your HTML is within your scope, right? But when we have these parent-child relationships, it's as if you're narrowing down where you're looking to a specific place, as if like we're looking within a specific function instead of our entire file.
Mm-hmm. So then with that in mind, would it have mattered if we had changed
the order
in CSC? Yeah, to .cool space dot special?
Yes, because then that would say, give me scope it to everything that has cool, and then look at what has, I mean, like in this case, I don't think it would have changed
if
it.
If we had said what?
If we scope it to cool and then look for things that have special, it would be the same actually.
So it would not be. Reason it's different.
I'm wrong.
Is common mistake is that this right now only the link has cool, right? Or I guess my question to you guys is what on this page is matched by dot cool? There are two tags here, right? Which is this one and this one. Both match cool, nothing else does. So if you said dot cool space dot special, what you're going to say is within these tags, what is special?
Mm. That's what it's right, because
so
it's like just
it selects
within
nothing.
Here. Whereas with special, we're within these tags here.
Those tags and those. Attributes. Yes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How it's basically asking, it's trying to narrow scope.
I think that's probably the easiest way to think about it.
So we found this, and we found this both match special, and then we're asking within these guys, what's cool? And like within this one's cool. Within this one, nothing's cool. So this is the only tag that remains.
Whereas cool is just within these A tags there.
Exactly. And what's special within those, nothing. Now, what I will say is if there was no space, right, you're asking what's cool and special, or what's pretty and special, right? Mm-hmm. If you say dot special dot pretty, that's the same as dot pretty dot special. Right, because what removing the space is asking is, when you say dot special, you're asking, okay, which ones are special, and then of those, which ones are also pretty, which is the same grammatically as asking what's pretty, and then of those, what's also special, right? It's the difference of what's within and what is.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So with that in mind, then.
I think our last thing is the box model.
Love the way Allison says that. So the box.
Just have a box. I'll be your box model.
So let's talk about that. So right now we spent a lot of time talking about selectors. By now you guys are probably like masters of selectors. You know how to exactly to like select the content that you want to manipulate on your screen. So now the question is, how exactly can you manipulate it? So I guess the most basic way to think about that is, well, what exactly is an element in CSS, right? We've spent a lot of time like talking about what is a tag or what is the most like basic representation of a tag? And the real a good way to think about that is, what shape is salmon? What shape is like the salmon colored background? It's a rectangle, right?
Well, it's a trick question.
not trying to trick you guys this late. So we have this rectangle. And the tag is a P, right? So that gives us like good belief that the paragraph is represented as a rectangle, at least like in the mind of the browser.
Oh, okay.
Which it is. So
I
the basic
browsers are typically rectangular, so makes sense.
the idea here is that everything, all of the tags within CSS are represented as a rectangle, and every rectangle has four parts according to CSS. Okay, you have the actual content. Okay, that's where like the text lies.
Maybe your picture.
Yeah, you have padding, which is just some kind of white space. Then you have a border, and then you have margin, which is white space outside of that. So that makes no sense to anyone. So we're going to talk about that for a second. So right here, what we're going to do is we're going to create some divs. Okay. So excuse me.
I feel like we should put a cute picture in.
we definitely should.
I feel like everyone could benefit from a cute picture. Is all.
Can we all benefit from a
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So,
we should
put a cute picture in somewhere. Yeah.
I feel like a cute bunny might be useful right now.
Sure. So.
A week.
How about a kitten?
Adorable. A kitten works too.
Cool. Because there's a site for that. It's called Place Kitten.
That's love great. It.
Yes.
Just for like placeholder images in your website.
There's also Place Puppy, but that's. And there's Place Bacon.
Place Bacon, really?
So, we don't have internet access here.
Oh.
Otherwise, I would show you guys how to put images on your website. We're gonna try to get this working before we have to go, but for now, we're just gonna talk in colors. Then, we wanted to put pictures of kittens, but the internet's down for the moment being. So we have two divs, and we're gonna give them two IDs. So ID one, or we're gonna call it. First and second. So ID equals first. And we're going to give them two colors. So how do we select something with an ID of first?
Dot or hash?
Sharp.
Sharp, perfect. Oh, okay. Sharp, hash, whatever we want. Okay, we're going to settle on hashtag, and that's what we're going to go with. Okay.
Hashtag.
So hashtag first.
So you can tweet the seminar, hashtag CSS, hashtag cool.
Hashtag awesomeness.
Hashtag awesomeness, yes.
Okay, so we have first and second. So first, we're going to have a background color of red.
Colon.
Yep.
I'll be your spot checker.
Allison's got me. Background color of
purple. Yes. Purple's my favorite color, and we haven't used it yet.
Violet.
Okay. That works.
So we're going to have two divs. They're going to be totally empty. We should probably add some text.
Yeah.
So first is going to be hello. And this goodbye. One's going to say world. Hello, goodbye.
I saw them in concert the other week.
Reels?
For reals.
Okay.
They're not that great.
Hello and goodbye. And again, CSS is just awesome because it recognizes our colors. Don't need to even worry that they exist. They do.
They exist.
So CSS, I think, has 255 words to talk about color. If you can think of a color outside those 255,
I think I may have just come in right after.
So here you'll see we have two boxes right on top of each other, right? Hello and goodbye.
There's no space in between. They're just smushed right on top of each other.
So the first thing I guess we should talk about is, let's also say, so CSS represents them as sort of boxes. And as boxes, they have content. And the content right now is sort of the hello or the goodbye, and that's it. Okay? So one of the first things you can do is you can add padding. Padding says how much space it should leave on each side. So let's say I want to say 10 pixels on each side. Yeah. And I'm going to I will dissect that in a second.
Yeah, all of these things here are going to be mostly in pixels for the rest of the seminar.
You're going to see that it has some space around it, right? So what you don't see here is there's this invisible sort of padding on each side, which says, like, OK, you have your box of content.
Do you want to just pull up the inspector
element?
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
This is also, I find that the inspect element is a good way to figure out, like, if something's going wrong, like something unexpected happens, inspecting like the tags and seeing what's like overwritten is helpful.
So I'm not sure if you guys can see this color, can you? You'll see this padding on the sort of edge, and then you see the actual content in blue, right? So that's the very basics of the box model. You have content, then you have padding.
Oh, it even shows the box inside
the Because like it's just selecting like the element right now.
Yep. Other things. So let's talk about that padding command for a second. So in CSS, things need to have sort of measurements need to have a unit. So first you have the amount. So in this case we've said 10, and then the next one we've said is pixels, px. Other ones you might have are things like centimeters, inches. You can do things like what is 10 inches? It's going to be ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's all padding. I'm going to go back to pixels.
Pixels tend to be like the standard. When you look at a lot of websites, they mostly work in pixels.
Yeah. So you're going to see either pixels. The other ones you see is EM, which is one EM is equal to the height of the font, which you're currently using. It's just a good way to sort of, it's a good way to say, like, I want as much space as my font is taking. So.
I did not know that. Learn something new every day.
You also have, there are a lot of measurements in CS. I suggest you look them up. For all your cases, I think pixels should be sufficient. Mm-hmm. And they're also what you're going to see in the majority of examples on online. So we'll leave it at pixels. You can also, I should say, so padding sets all of the paddings. You can also do something like padding top to just set.
We'll get our hello back.
To just set the padding on the top, right, and nothing else. So the four commands are padding top, padding bottom, padding left, and padding right.
Just like you would expect for a box.
Yeah, nothing too crazy there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that is padding. I'm going to set all the paddings back to 10, and then I'm going to move on to border. So what border is border is a weird command. It takes sort of three things at once. So the first is how big you want it to be in pixels, or how big you want it to be as a measurement. Again, I'm only using pixels. And the last thing I should add to measurements is the one thing which doesn't need a unit is zero. It's actually incorrect to give zero a unit because zero is zero across inches, pixels, centimeters, whatever. It all just means zero, right?
Okay.
So first you give it the measurement, then you give it the style. So I'm going to say solid, and we'll talk about what that means. And then lastly, you give it a color. So I'm going to say black. And these are all things we've now seen before, except for style, but we'll talk about that. Right. So you guys have seen measurements, and you've seen colors. And what happens is we get this nice black border around it, right? You guys see how we did that?
Yeah.
Cool. So what is that? So first of all, it's one pixel. That's self-evident enough, right? Like, it's one pixel thick. Or it would be one pixel, but I'm zoomed in, so it's a little bit more than
And we have this ridiculous resolution TV.
Yeah. You can make it bigger, smaller, whatever. So here's a two-pixel border. You'll see it's twice as thick. Next thing you have is color. That's not interesting. I'm not going to talk about that, really.
Style might be just a little interesting.
Yeah. So style, there are a few ones that I see used commonly. First one's solid. Next one's dotted, and the last one's dashed. And here's dotted. You'll see that there are a bunch of dots, right? A good way to sort of get like a nice border going. Dashes are also pretty popular. Yeah, that sounds.
And then of course, I'm sure there are plenty other styles you can get. And we have a great set of links at the end for you guys to kind of peruse and look at more cool CSS.
And then the last thing we're going to talk about the box models real quick. Oh, and then border, exactly like padding, you also have things like border left, border right, border top, border bottom, right, which allow you to get at a specific border. So here's just the border left defined. Does that make sense? Awesome.
A cool way to emphasize things or, you know, add lines between different elements.
Absolutely. So that's our border. And the last one's margin. Margin's like padding, except it's not within.
It's not around your element, but actually around the entire box that we've been seeing.
Yeah. So Allison said it perfectly. It's not like inside your element. It's around the whole box. That means things like background don't apply to it. And it basically says, like, I don't want anything in this much space for me. So like here we have a margin of 10 pixels. So like nothing within 10 pixels should be next to me. That's kind of its space, but kind of not. So that's the like very basics of the box model. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. So now I think we just have our cool resources that we'll take you guys through very quickly. And we'll actually, like, well, do we have internet yet?
Let's see if I can open up. Let me just see if I can get internet quickly while Allison talks about anything Allison wants to talk about.
So basically, I don't know what else I can say at this point, but these are some really good resources. These are ones that Tomas and I have used and that we actually used to prep for this. W3 Schools is one that you guys should have seen before. We recommend it for a lot of things with CSS. I know I recommend it to my section all the time. One of the great things is that it allows you to kind of mess with CSS and see the changes instantaneously in this like double window view that it has. So you don't have to worry about, you know, setting up your own web page or setting up, you know, vHost and your local appliance and localhost and getting all that stuff working. It is embedded right within the page, and it has like these little lessons that you can go through to learn more about selectors or learn about manipulating your font or a background or an image, and you have these instantaneous results that you don't have to do any other prep work for. So I love W3 Schools. It's fabulous. Is it working?
Yeah, no, it's not. You want me to try restarting my computer, or what? Do we want to?
I mean, well, let's. This will also be online.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All the slides will be online, so I just highly recommend doing these. This is great as just like a cheat sheet. It's kind of just all the basic commands that you have. It's great when you're first starting out your website because maybe you don't want to get into all of the real nitty-gritty design heavy stuff. You just need to format it in a way that kind of makes sense and will do for the time being. And then if you really want to get into it, I know this is like one of Tomas's favorite references. We're using it to prep and it's fabulous. It's the developer from Mozilla.
So Mozilla's are the people who make Firefox, and it's just like their own developer reference, which I think is awesome. And it has a wonderful like list of resources. Yes. So we
and
have
then last note is when you're trying to design your websites, draw inspiration from things that you think are pretty. Inspecting the element, inspecting the source code can be super helpful for trying to figure out how to style your own website. Often I feel like the best way besides experimentation is just to look at things that are pretty. I find it's really hard to just kind of design things on your own, especially in the beginning. So please, you know, look at websites that you enjoy looking at, figure out what makes them appealing to you, and then feel free to try and replicate that.
Right. So there's even like websites like this. So you can see sort of this definitely a div at the top. And then you have another div within here, which is CSS awesomeness. And then you have a bunch of links here. If you really just inspect elements, you can sort of start to see like what do websites look like and how can I recreate that if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we only have 3 minutes left. So questions, any of them? Yes.
For the color rectangle, how would you have like if you didn't want it going across the whole page, could you have made it go across like
just the text?
Only half the page or just
yeah,
the
absolutely. So let me see, actually, I have two ideas. So first of all, you can also use percents.
Really?
So something to look up is relative positioning. It's something that we don't have time to get into, but it's something I definitely recommend you guys checking out.
So percents, and see how we made it just 50% of the width.
If you actually know like the number of pixels, you can be more precise that way. You can fiddle around with it. The 50%, if we were to resize our browser, it would make it smaller.
Well, it's basically 50% right now, I think. It's 50%, and then the margin isn't added to that.
Yeah.
CSS has a lot of quirks. So right now, this is 50% of the page width. But remember that you have 10 pixels taken off from each side. So if you were to move that against the left edge of the browser, then it would look
50%.
Again, like I said, CSS can be a lot of guess and check. Like, you think something's going to behave one way, but it behaves a totally different way.
And you just get smarter, and you just get a better intuition for
it
as you
move
along.
And it gets worse and worse, so it's,
it's
really just a race.
That's super encouraging. We want them to like CSS.
CSS is awesome. Remember that. Other
questions? One thing. Cool.
Awesome.
Well, if you guys have any questions later on, we're always available.
Yeah.
As per usual, you'll probably see some of us for final projects and definitely at the hackathon. So
absolutely. And at the fair.
And at the fair.
Look forward to seeing all of your
We'll see all
awesome
of your awesome websites.
Yes.
That will be beautiful.
You can always see like the websites with like good CSS and then like those who did not try to do CSS.
Also another thing, one more thing to look into is bootstrapping. So Bootstrap is great.
Google that.
Google it. It's fabulous. You'll love it. And now that you have an understanding, basic understanding of CSS, it'll make a lot more sense. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.